Have you seen the moon recently? Can you say what phase it's in? Are you sure it's still there? Well, I guess the moon is something that we take for granted. We've been there and we've done that. So whatever happened to our idea of colonizing the moon? Are we bypassing it to go on to bigger and better things? Well, I guess Mars is more of an intriguing place to visit. Besides, to go to any place in space costs money that could be put to better use in projects here on Earth. Actually, developing a settlement on the moon can be scientifically and commercially useful to us. Also, it can be a platform from which to venture forth to other parts of space, and it's only about 3.5 days away. There are ways to make it cost-effective and feasible to begin the exploration and colonization of space. Our return guest has some ideas about how to accomplish this. Mark Hopkins serves as the chairman of the Executive Committee for the National Space Society. He's written numerous publications dealing with space economics and is responsible for most of the early economic studies of space settlements, including the economic study in the NASA publication Space Settlements. Welcome again to our program Contours, Mark.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you for that introduction.
Oh, okay. Well, it's deserving, and it certainly applies. So let me ask you, how can we develop a cost-effective way to live, work, and thrive in a lunar settlement?
Well, we in the National Space Society have been pushing the idea of exploiting lunar resources really since the beginning of the organization. You can go to our website and look at the second issue of the L5 News in October 1975 and see some of our early ideas. These ideas are becoming increasingly mainstream these days, and that's really partly due to us pushing the ideas. But there's been two major developments in the last 2 years which make a return to the moon and exploitation and the exploitation of its resources much more economically feasible. Huh. One of these is the discovery of water on the moon.
Yeah, that was something. Wow.
Which is really great because you can disassociate water on the moon into its two components, oxygen and hydrogen, which makes a great rocket fuel.
So yeah.
Refuel stuff on the moon. And the second is this idea of using commercial space for doing things in space, which turns out to be far more efficient way of doing things, as is indicated by the success of the COTS program. So,
what's the COTS program, by the way?
The COTS program is a government private industry partnership where the government puts up some money which you obtain by reaching certain milestones in your development program, but a substantial fraction of the development costs also has to be put up by the private firm in question. The primary example of this has been the success of the company SpaceX, which produced the Falcon 9 rocket, which is the mainstream of their fleet currently, at about an order of magnitude less cost than would have been predicted by the typical NASA and Air Force cost models.
Well, that's SpaceX program, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a COTS program, but the company that did it is SpaceX.
SpaceX, okay.
Which is run by Elon Musk. Anyway, by using what we did is we co-sponsored a program, a workshop, low-cost strategies for lunar development, last July 2014, which was held at Draper Fisher Jurvetson, one of the major venture capital firms in Silicon Valley, and they came out with a conclusion that if you took into account these two major things, COTS approach and also the fact there's water on the moon, you could return to the moon and build a lunar base and do most of the things one are interested in doing on the moon at about an order of magnitude less cost. We're talking about building a lunar base for something like on the order of $10 billion, which is something which is very affordable.
Now, when you say we're doing it, does that mean the National Space Society?
We co-sponsored that particular study, and then we were involved tangentially in this study, which a couple of months later came out from the NASA Ames portion of, that's one of the big NASA facilities. They have, that's where most of the commercial space stuff for NASA is done, and their commercial space section came out with a paper called Lunar Station, which had similar conclusions.
Hmm.
And I had the honor of delivering that paper at the International Astronautical Congress last
year. Oh, okay. Now, yeah. I don't quite understand the relationship between the government, NASA, and the commercial companies like SpaceX and so forth, whoever is involved. And it's what's all the relationship?
Well, they created this program a few years ago. Originally, it was aimed at developing a commercial approach to delivering cargo to the space station, and that's been successful. And now it's evolved into a second program, which is aimed at bringing humans to the space station. Currently, we bring humans to the space station using Russian rockets, which we
have
to pay a substantial amount of money for.
Yeah,
but hopefully by about 2017, this program will be successful as well.
Now, is this strictly commercial, or is it partially governmental controlled?
It's a partnership, and what happens is the government puts up some money for the program, and you as a company get that money if you meet certain milestones. But you as a company also have to put up some of your own money. Usually the majority of the money, and as a consequence, you have a lot of your own skin in the game and are very interested in doing things cost-effectively.
So right now we can only send up, supplies and things like that? We can't carry humans up?
Not on American rockets. We don't have any American rockets currently which can deliver people to space.
Hmm.
So they're using this COTS approach to change that. And hopefully by 2017, they'll be able to do that. Now, if you use an approach like this, you can get back to the moon and build a lunar base. And the most interesting and thorough study called the Evolvable Lunar Architecture, which principal investigator of which was Charles Miller, former board member of NSS, that was completed in July of this year, and then we did, along with another organization, a big press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on July 20th, the 46th anniversary of the Apollo landing on the moon, to provide PR for this results of the study. And this study came out with essentially the same results as the earlier study, but was much more detailed, and I had a lot of very credible people involved, such as Chris Kraft, the guy who...
He was the guy way back in the Mercury program before the Gemini and Apollo even, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was mission control guy for all the Mercury flights. He was trained the people for the Apollo flights. He's the guy, if you watch the movie Apollo 13, where they had the fire and they basically had to return to Earth without going to the moon.
Yeah, Tom Hanks saved us, I guess.
Tom Hanks movie. The guy in there who says failure is not an option. He is the actor there is depicting Chris Kraft, who is reported to have said that. And a lot of important people, like at the press conference, we had Buzz Aldrin.
Ah, okay.
Second guy to land on the moon.
Yeah, yeah. And he's from New Jersey.
Well, how about that? New Jersey people get around quite a bit.
Yes. Even as far as the moon in this case.
So, anyway, by using this approach, we can get back to the moon, and we can do anything on the moon a lot cheaper and also exploit lunar resources, particularly to begin with.
I was going to ask, what kind of resources are we talking about?
Well, the obvious one to begin with is lunar water, but there's other resources as well. There is some reason to believe there's some things like the platinum there. But we can use the resources on the moon to do anything we want to do in space.
I read something about another resource, helium-3, which is not on the Earth, and it can be used to take part in the fusion process if it's ever developed.
That's a possibility. Helium-3 is a great fuel for fusion reactors because you can use it to run your fusion reactor, so you have a fusion reactor.
Yeah, yeah.
And it produces extremely low amounts of radioactive pollution, and as a consequence, greatly, dramatically mitigates that potential problem.
Hey, do you think they might strike gold there? We'll have another gold rush or something to the moon.
Well, you might have... People are increasingly interested in lunar resources, partly because anything you take off the Earth has to, leave the Earth, and that's quite expensive. Currently, a pound of material into Earth orbit costs about $2,000 just for the transportation.
Oh,
cost.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
Now, SpaceX is in the process of lowering that substantially, but it's still going to be expensive. Now, one of the big advantages of the moon is anything you take off the moon requires a factor of 20 less energy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, less gravity, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, to get it off the moon. And so we will start using raw materials from the moon, like, say, aluminum and stuff, to start building satellites and other devices in space, and when we do that, we'd much prefer getting the material from someplace like the moon rather than the Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Gravitational difference.
Well, we're speaking to Mark Hopkins, and he serves as chairman of the Executive Committee of the National Space Society, and we're talking about the idea of setting up some kind of a settlement on the moon and tapping into its resources and things of that nature and how to make it cost-effective. Now, I came across some information about how to get the stuff from the moon to the Earth, and there was something involving what they call a mass driver.
One idea for taking material off the moon, which could really reduce cost substantially, is basically to shoot it off the moon using what's called a mass driver. And this is basically sort of electromagnetic railgun. You take a payload of say, lunar aluminum or something like that, and accelerate it down a track magnetically, and then fling it into space where it's been captured by some device. This means you don't have to use rocket fuel to get something off the moon.
Hmm.
You just need a certain amount of electricity. And you could move large amounts of mass off the moon by this route. You would need, this would be if you're building major things in space, such as potential building space solar power satellites, which in the long run may well be a very good idea.
Well, thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate you being on our program.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, maybe we'll be speaking to you in the future as well to maybe address the other kinds of ideas that you have in mind in terms of going beyond the moon to maybe asteroids and then using solar energy and things like that.